Good morning. Hey, there we go. I'm on. Welcome to church this morning. It's beautiful to see the leaves changing out there. Get the smells walking through the woods and everything. It's nice. Stand and worship with us this morning if you would. We're going to start off this morning with There is a Redeemer. I know a lot of you know this.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son, and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you again.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
And leaving.
And leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I do want to give you just a quick thank you for the cards and the prayers for my wife. And she is doing well. She's in a nursing rehab facility now. And improving well. But thank you so much for your prayers for my wife and the cards that you have sent. I so appreciate it very, very much. Our scripture reading is found in Psalms 105, verses 1 through 4. Great scripture verses. Listen to what the word says this morning. Give praise to the Lord, and that's what I did and what I'm going to do always, even concerning my wife. You know that? Praise to the Lord for what he's done and doing and going to do. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. That's what we're here for too. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wondrous acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Oh my. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we are grateful and we are thankful. Father, for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you are going to do. The songs we sing this morning, Lord, even, we put our trust in you, Lord Jesus. Your word says to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. Just in all of you, acknowledge our ways, and you'll direct our paths, Lord Jesus. We love you this morning, Father. Again, we commit this service into your hands, Lord Jesus, as we worship you, praise you, sing unto you, lift your name higher. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our next song this morning is Echo Holy.
Gathered at the highest throne, him by a melody, an anthem I have always known, a song that's always been in me. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing, with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Memorized by every heart, written in eternity, every lifted voice apart, joining in the symphony. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. All wisdom and wonder belong to none other but you. Oh, a million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing, with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Standing at the end of time, there before the throne of grace, majesty before my eyes, let it take my breath away. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing, with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing, with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh,
be your name and the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. it should be, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out now, turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Again,
you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Your glorious name.
Amen. You may be seated.
They'll be back up in just a little bit for some special music, and we'll be singing out of your chorus book in just a few minutes also. While they're coming back down to their seats, and AV is queuing up our missions video for the morning, and just a couple of very quick announcements relate to food. This Friday at 11 o'clock at the Epsom Traffic Circle at the restaurant there, Joy Sharers, you'll be meeting 11 o'clock sharp, and we'll enjoy a meal together. Secondly, after the morning service today, we'll be having our missions banquet, and so we have all the food set up for you there. If you can come and be with us, please do. If you did not have opportunity to sign up for that, we understand, but come and join us anyways. There's always plenty of food, so that will be downstairs in the fellowship hall right when we're up. Right when we've concluded our morning service today. And then thirdly, you probably noticed as you were entered into the foyer today that our Thanksgiving sign-up boards are back again. And Thanksgiving will be here before we know it, just next month. So we begin our sign-up process, and the big responsibility and task that is to provide a Thanksgiving ministry to those in our community and communities near here. So please take the opportunity to visit the sign-up board before you leave today, and we want to try to get as many names on there as possible to have a wonderful Thanksgiving ministry once again. So we wanted you to know about that. All right, we're going to go to the big screen here in just a moment. Our missionary today are the folks at Missionary Air Group. We'll be hearing from Sean Donnelly, the director of the program, and also some of the folks on the field. We'll be hearing some of the stories that happens on the field in Honduras. Last week, we had our friend Cody Hart sharing with us about his time on the mission field. It was right there in Honduras, Rusrus, Honduras, that he was at, ministering with Missionary Air Group. So we'll be hearing from Sean, and then we'll be hearing from some of the missionaries there. And then when we're done with this, as we did last time, I'd like to devote a little bit of time afterwards to prayer for Missionary Air Group and for Sean Donnelly. And I do want to fill you in very quickly on some of what's going on in his life and his ministry right now that he does not report in the today's video clip, but it's very important for you to know. All right, that being said, AV, are we all set to go? All righty, sit back, enjoy.
Hi, church. Sean Donnelly here with Missionary Air Group. I am thrilled to be able to bring you a little bit of a report about everything that God is doing through our ministry currently. This has been an amazing year, and we've got plenty going on here in Burlington, North Carolina, where I'm speaking to you from. We've got pilots getting trained. We've got a bunch of new apprentices that are actually starting with us here and are preparing for field service as missionary pilot mechanics. We've got our airplanes getting worked on and modified and maintained. Actually, COVID was an amazing opportunity for us to get our whole fleet kind of refurbished, which is a blessing that we might not have had otherwise. But things are going well here. What's really neat, though, is what's going on the field. Our team in Honduras is seeing tremendous fruit. We've got more patients coming through the hospital there in our village of Rus-Rus than ever before. We've got medical brigades happening. We've had more VBS this year, got expanded out to more villages than what we've been able to do in the past, and just some really, really neat things. Pastors are being trained. More medical flights are happening. You need to really be praying for those guys on the field, though. There's lots of challenges all the time. But with all those challenges, we're seeing tremendous blessing and tremendous fruit for God's kingdom. But actually, don't take my word for it. Here is a little bit of a report directly from our team on the field.
Welcome back, friends and family, to our clinic here in La Mosquitia, Honduras. Today we'd like to share with you our vision and needs that we have this upcoming year for our clinic.
The clinic started during the Contra Wars as a full-service hospital with missionary doctors and nurses. They even did surgeries. But as time went on, the need for a full-scale hospital was less pressing, so it became a clinic. And in 2010, MAG inherited the clinic from the Church of God. We have been managing the clinic ever since. And we currently staff two national Honduran nurses who see approximately 150 patients per month.
And currently, we host biannual medical brigades where we see on average of about 500 patients per week. We bring in doctors from Honduras as well as the states, as well as other medical personnel to facilitate all of the needs for that week. And sometimes patients will walk up to 8 hours just to come to the brigade. The most recent project that we've been working on and are almost complete has been this porch and benches so the patients can have a place to sit as well as serve as a way to keep out all of the animals that are here. And welcome to our clinic.
This is the waiting area.
We just have a couple of storage rooms in the front. And our reception area. Right now, where the patients are come and welcomed by our nurses.
Our next big project is installing new ceramic. We had a lot of broken ceramic that needed replacing, and that is on its way. Another project we would like to see happen is give the inside and outside a facelift by a new paint job.
Very often, our introduction to people in this part of the world is through some kind of healthcare crisis. Someone is ill or a family member is ill. Not very long ago, we had a case here locally of a family with a newborn baby that had a severe heart deformity. And this is a family who had no means at all to rectify that situation, to get the treatment that that child needed. And that child's life is in the hands of God, just like all of us are. But what we were positioned to do, what we were able to do because we were here with an airplane, is provide them access to get into the city, get to a hospital and see a cardiologist, and explore what resources they had available to them. And it was a privilege for us to be in a place where we were able to help them. We were here, we were present when they showed up, we had what we needed to be able to get them to the city. That was a heart-rending situation, and it's still a very difficult thing for that family. But we are glad to have been able to play some part in helping them through that difficult journey of eventually losing their child to that heart condition. And cases like that are not all that uncommon here. People in conditions like that don't really have options. They don't have any place to go. And so being here, just being present and being ready to go when the call comes, is extremely important. And so our objective is to minister to those people's needs and to share with them the love of Jesus and give them another day so that God can show himself.
So that's what's going on in the hospital, and the medical care and the compassion that we're able to bring to folks in the name of Jesus. That's awesome, but it doesn't stop there. That stuff is what actually opens the door to us to be able to bring the gospel, to be able to do ministry, to be able to go into villages and teach the word of God. And one of the big things that we're doing in that regard is discipleship, Bible studies for men, Bible studies for women, for youth. But even beyond that, training pastors is one of the biggest needs that we see out in this part of Honduras. So we've got several partners that are working with us to bring excellent biblical training to the Mosquito pastors, and wanted you to be able to hear from David Guevara, one of our pastoral training partners, in his own words.
My name is David Guevara. I am a missionary here in Honduras. I count it an honor, first of all, to be able to work alongside of Missionary Air Group and their missionaries here in La Mosquitia. One of the most impactful things for me working in La Mosquitia is the fact that, number one, is an unreachable place by land. There's a lot of limitations to be able to access it. There's a lot of drawbacks to that, but there's also some positives. The community is not distracted by many of the other influences outside of the village, modern things, so their attention span is much longer. And our training that took place this week, the leaders and the church community were very engaged. The study of the principles in our study in the book of Jonah made a big impact in our lives. We believe God's word has power to change lives. We drive with the principles the folks back to the scripture, and we expect the word of God through the power of his spirit to touch our hearts and to change us. And that was evident this week. One of the pastors that was in the group, he said he had pastored for 20 some years, and he told me, he said, I never preached from the Old Testament before because I do not feel adequate. I do not know how. And he said, these principles are giving me the tools to be able to know for myself how to study the Old Testament and how to be able to preach the Word of God from the Old Testament with authority. And that was a blessing to hear. Another impactful thing to me was to hear some of their stories. A lot of times we come to some of these trainings and we're in a hurry. We do two and a half days worth of training. There's a lot of material to cover because we try to do one entire book at a time. But this time coming to Rus Rus, we decided to take a little more time with these people and to take an unhurried approach. And so we were able to listen to some of their stories, and their faces are reflects the hardships that they've lived growing up in an area like this, and to be able to see the Word of God heal some of those things this week was very impactful for me. I was blessed to be able to witness that. We're very grateful for the ministry of the Missionary Air Group that makes these trips, facilitates some of these trips for us to be able to go back and forth from our nearest airport, actually not our nearest airport, but any airport that we choose, really, to be able to fly, make this journey to Rus Rus accessible to us. It is a blessing. We count it a blessing to be able to do that. And the ministry that they do here is invaluable for the folks in Rus Rus and in the areas of La Mosquitia.
So that's a little bit about what's going on here at Missionary Air Group so that you can pray and stay connected. I kind of think of it this way. I got all P's. Pilots, planes, patients, pastors, and partners. And so partly that's you as one of our ministry partners. We've got some other partners, though, that have joined up with us this year. And I want to let everybody know to pray for the partnership that we've just cemented with Christian Health Service Corps. They're going to be starting to send regular medical teams and doctors and medical folks down to our Rus Rus Hospital. So would you pray for them and that partnership? Last thing that I want to let you know about is this new app that we've kind of developed here. And so grab your cell phones and you're going to see come on the screen a QR code that you can scan that's going to bring you to a new tool that we've developed called a Linktree. And this is a place that you can go to get regular information and updates. It's a kind of a hub that you can use to get to all of our social media, our videos, our posts, our news stories, our website. You can donate there, and you can share this with other people too as you're being a champion for Missionary Air Group and sharing in what God is doing here through us. So again, thank you. Thank you for being so faithful. And we will see you next time.
All right. And the QR code does work, by the way. I tried it out myself this week. And what I'd like to do now, folks, is to have a time of corporate prayer for Missionary Air Group, for Sean, and the ministry that goes on there. We've seen a number of things that they do. Oh, it's my granddaughter. I just saw her. Hi, Nora. Sorry. I get distracted very easily. And so we'll be praying for them. Now, one of the things that you did not hear this morning, alrighty, and I do need to share this with you today. I had a conversation with Sean about a week ago. Unfortunately, he has lost a significant amount of support in this past year and is currently on furlough and trying to raise some additional funds. So we do need to be in prayer for that. A little bit later on today, after we have our lunch and we come back for our church business meeting, one of the things our missions committee is going to be doing is they will be making a motion to the church that we expend some funds from our the emergency portion of our missions fund to be able to send to Sean, to be able to help him out a bit. But he has a shortfall of $2,000 per month, every month, with regards to lost support, the death of donors, things like that, and some new IRS rules, unfortunately, that have impacted him greatly. So we want to be able to come alongside him as he continues to direct the efforts of Missionary Air Group and to be a blessing to them. But for right now, can I ask if two of you, could pray for Missionary Air Group, some of the things that you heard and saw this morning, and for Sean. Alrighty? Let's go to prayer together. Can I have two of you right now, please pray.
Father, that you would help us to envision these people whom desperately need help and spiritual care. These will be people that we'll meet in heaven someday. They'll be around the throne worshiping along with us. And we are thankful that you see us all equally before you. We pray for conversions, of transformations of spirit, for being able to overthrow strongholds that sometimes happen in people groups that don't have Christian influence. I pray, O Lord, for a powerful revival and a powerful outflowing of support toward Mag and their mission. May it be for your honor and for your glory. And we would not forget our Israeli friends in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. And as the Lord puts Sean on your heart this week, this month, next month, please remember our dear friends at Missionary Air Group. All right. Would you find your course book with me this morning? And number 36, this is our missions chorus of the month. So find your way there. And our worship team is going to help us in singing that together. It's number 36. And let's sing together. We'll worship.
A shining light to the people of the earth, till the whole world sees your glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us.
friends. Gentlemen, would you please join me up front at this time? We will take up our morning offering now. We'll praise our Lord. We'll worship Him in the giving of our gifts. Next week, for our missionary family that we'll be highlighting, we are going to be traveling to South Korea next week, and we'll be visiting with the Kim family. So please join us for that. Right now, let's prepare to worship in giving. Gracious Lord, you have given to us a Savior, a Redeemer, who is worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise. You have entrusted us with the privilege and the responsibility of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation is available through Him and His finished work on a cross. We have the message of a Savior, we have the message of a cross, we have the message of an empty tomb, and we have the message of a Redeemer who is soon coming again. Oh Lord, may we be found faithful in that task as the message goes out to the nations. Lord, today, in the time that we have set aside now, we will take up our morning offering for the continued work of your kingdom today and your kingdom that is to come. And Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful in it. Lord, I pray your blessings on our offering today. Those who give joyfully, generously. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon these families. Oh Lord, would you receive all the glory in this act of worship? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It was actually really exciting for me to watch that MAG video. The couple that was introducing the clinic, that's Steve and Candace. They didn't say their name, but the last trip that I was on to Roos Roos was, I believe, their first trip. Candace was there, I think, I don't know, like 6 or 7 months pregnant. So it was pretty neat. They were checking the place out, and it's really awesome to see them there as full-time missionaries. I've spent many, many hours working in that hospital and the guest houses around on the properties, and I saw some faces in the video of locals that I've met and hung out with and we've done Bible studies with. So like I said last week, if you ever feel the Lord calling you, don't turn away. Experience it. It's really cool. I actually hope and pray to go back again someday. I don't know when that will be or, you know, if, when the Lord will call, but I would. My children have both expressed interest to go on missions trip, so we'll just pray and see what the Lord has in store. This song today, this song today, I was running through songs trying to pick what I wanted to sing or what we wanted to play, and with everything going on in our lives and in this world, and this song just hit me on Tuesday night when I was looking through songs and singing them, and this song has a lot of power. Do you believe? Do you still believe Jesus is in control?
Amen.
Of your life, of your family, of your job, and even bigger pictures, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, do you still believe that God is in control? You hear some lines in this song about a world shaking, a nation aching, and a light that will break every darkness. So, Just if you know it, sing along in your pew, and if not, then just relax, close your eyes, and listen to the words, and try to let God speak to you.
That's aching. My trust in you remains. You stay the same through the changing of seasons. You are the hope when I can't find a reason. My trust in you remains. My trust in you remains. I still believe you are greater. I still believe you're in control. I still believe you're my healer. Jesus, you're faithful always. I still believe you are the that will break every darkness. I stand amazed, overwhelmed by your greatness. My hope in you remains. My hope in you remains. I still believe you are greater. I still believe you're in control. I still believe you're my healer. Jesus, you're faithful always. Every victory you have won, in your name I overcome. I still believe, I still believe. You're not finished with me yet. Greater days are still ahead. I still believe. Jesus, I still believe. Jesus, I still believe. You are greater. I still believe you're in control. I still believe you're my healer. Jesus, you're faithful always. Every victory you have won, in your name I overcome. I still believe, I still believe. You're not finished with me yet. Greater days are still ahead. I still believe. Jesus, I still believe. Jesus, I still believe.
Jesus. Thank you, worship team. Our children who are going to junior church are dismissed at this time. And everybody who's staying with me today, Genesis chapter 49. Join me there if you will. The very first book in your Bible is the book of Genesis, chapter 49. As you can see, we will be drawing our study in the life of Old Testament Joseph to a close next month. This has been a near one-year journey for us. But Genesis chapter 49, I'd like to see if we can get through a handful of verses here today, and I'll tell you in a moment what we're going to be looking at. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious Lord, you have brought us into this house of worship today to proclaim your name, your person, your works, your wonder, who you are. Lord, we have lifted up our voice in song all morning long. We have praised you and you alone. And now, Lord, we have your word before us, this precious text of Holy Scripture. We know that it contains the account of an ancient story, some 3,800 years old now. The characters are, well, they've long gone, yet they still speak today. Lord, I pray that in our study of your word this day, you would open our mind in the understanding of holy text, not that so that we would just know the facts of a story, but Lord, so that we could see your hand uniquely and distinctly at work. And Lord, that we would be able to see you, and that this text of scripture would be a demonstration of who you are, your sovereignty, your leading, your power, and your will. Lord, may we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ today. We commit this precious time now into your good hands for your purposes, for your glory, for your pleasure. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 49. There are some of you who are here this morning who might have at some point in time in your lives received an official looking document in the mail. You noticed that it came from a law firm. You have no idea what it's about, but you're intrigued. Maybe you're even a little bit bothered thinking, what in the world do these people want from me? Why is this being sent to me? Why am I getting something in the mail from an attorney? Well, you open the letter, this official-looking envelope, and you discover that you have been named in somebody's will, and your name is found there of the individual that you know the law firm is representing. You had no idea this was coming. This is a very pleasant surprise. This has happened a number of times to us over the years here in the church family. Dear saints from the past, who used to at one time occupy these pews that we sit in today, have named our church family in their final will. It has always been a great surprise, and we are very much appreciative that they have remembered us in this way. They have believed in the work and the ministry of this church, and they extended to us this very, very generous gift. I am grateful. I am sure you are grateful also. Genesis chapter 49, we are going to be reading what may seem like Jacob's final will and testament to his sons. It might seem like that's what we're reading today. But it does not happen in the office of an attorney. We did not get any kind of certified letter in the mail. As a matter of fact, Jacob is still alive as he speaks to his sons and he informs them of their futures. And as we read some of these verses in Genesis 49 this morning, we are going to read words of blessing that Jacob will extend to his boys. We're going to read words of rebuke that he'll extend to his sons. And we're going to read words of prophecy. There will be prophetic oracles in Jacob's final words that he shares with his sons. Now, some of those words that he will have spoken to them will find fulfillment in the life of their progeny. Some of the words that he speaks in his final words, his final testament, haven't even been fulfilled yet. We are still waiting for them even today to be fulfilled. And I'll show you what those are as we get to them. Other portions of Scripture in the Old Testament, specifically the words of the writing prophets, fill in some of the blanks as it relates to Jacob's oracle. Genesis chapter 49, we were in verses 1 and 2 last week. Let's look at it again. The word of God reads like this. Then Jacob called his sons and he said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father." So he set the stage for what he's about to say to them. Jacob is going to be following an ancient practice of getting his family together and giving them his final directives, telling them of what their future is going to be like. First name on the docket would be his eldest son, fellow by the name of Reuben. Reuben, I can only imagine at this point in time, beginning in verse 3 now, is probably all ears. What would Dad have to say to him? He's the oldest son. He is probably somewhat expectant as to what Dad is going to share with him at this time. It was the eldest son who would traditionally receive the birthright. He would be the one who would receive the double portion from his father. He is the one who would have, traditionally, preeminence amongst all of the tribes, preeminence amongst his brothers. He is the one who, at the passing of the elder, in this case Jacob, at the passing of the patriarch of the family, he would now become the patriarch himself. And actually, that was one of the reasons why the eldest son was given a double portion of the inheritance, because he is now the patriarch. So he would have the responsibility of looking over and caring for the larger tribe. That's one of the reasons why he got a larger portion. So the whole clan would be under his larger authority. So the eldest son traditionally gets the birthright. Reuben, you're up. Verse 3. "Reuben, you are my firstborn," Jacob says to him. "My might and the first fruits of my strength. Preeminent in dignity, preeminent in power." Sounds good. Verse 4. And then he says to him, "Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence. Because you went up to your father's bed, you defiled it. He went up to my couch." Wow. Did Reuben see this one coming? Probably not. This would not turn out to be a very good day for Reuben. After hearing what his dad says to him in verse 3, he's probably feeling pretty good about himself at this time. So with possibly heightened anticipation of what comes next, he is eager. Jacob begins by speaking these positive words about Reuben in verse 3. He is the firstborn. He is the one who came forth from the days of Jacob's strength and Jacob's might. And he was the beginning of Jacob's strength. And he is the one who should have preeminence and strength and honor. But then comes verse 4. And because of his sin from the past, and Jacob is making reference to Genesis chapter 35, Reuben had disqualified himself for all the rights and the privileges and the responsibilities of the firstborn. You might remember the story back from Genesis chapter 35. He is the one who defiled his father's bed, his father's couch. In other words, Reuben was the one from Genesis chapter 35 who had engaged in an incestuous, adulterous relationship with one of Jacob's concubines, a lady by the name of Bilhah, at a much younger age. And now, because of this ungoverned impulse of his from his younger years, his father disqualifies him from all the rights as a firstborn. And in verse 4, he refers to him as turbulent water. So, Reuben, you are unstable as water. And because of that, you will forfeit your rights of the firstborn. Reuben's arrogant attitude, his reckless way of life, disqualified him from this. Unstable waters. Have you ever seen how turbulent water can be? Really, all you have to do is take a drive down most any coastal town shortly after a hurricane has passed through, and you will get a firsthand account of the power of water, of turbulent water, of unstable water. Remember the hurricane that passed through the area, what, a month and a half ago? It was on its final leg by the time it got up here, and the cold New England waters took a lot of the steam out of the storm. But even when it reached up here, it still put on quite a show for a lot of folks. And people by the hundreds, people by the thousands made their way down to the coast to see the power of the water. And it was quite a show for sure. Here, Reuben is called unstable as water, turbulent as the waters. Well, as it relates to the life of Reuben, as you make your way into the larger Old Testament picture, the biblical narratives of the Old Testament, beyond the book of Genesis, you'll be hard-pressed to find any significant members that would ever come from the tribe of Reuben. No kings would come from them. No priests would come from them. As a matter of fact, when the entire tribe, after the Exodus and the conquest of the land, after the nation of Israel moved into the promised land after the book of Exodus, one of the things that we discover about the tribe of Reuben is they would reside on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They eventually became annexed into the tribe of Gad. They almost lost their identity at that point. The consequences of sin have far-reaching tentacles. One Bible commentator, a fellow by the name of Victor Hamilton, writes this about Reuben and the tribe of Reuben. He says, from this first oracle, the teaching is clear that the behavior of one individual affects the destiny of his descendants. Let me give that one to you again. Listen carefully. From this first oracle, the teaching is clear that the behavior of one individual affects the destiny of his descendants. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I am glad today that in Christ Jesus, all who come to him believing in saving faith by grace, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, can have new beginnings and be new creatures in Christ Jesus. There are some of you who are here today, and you occupy these pews today, but in your storyline and in your background, some of you probably came from some pretty rough pasts, some rough backgrounds. You have some fascinating stories to share, but you are here today because of the grace of God, and he has given to all of us new beginnings. The Lord has done that for us. But I think the point is still valid. Decisions from the past do not necessarily negate consequences for the future. If nothing else we can take from Reuben, it would simply be this, that it is a reminder to us that decisions made today have outcomes tomorrow. Choose wisely, live rightly, and may God's word lead us on the path of truth and wise choices. We can learn that from Reuben. All right, boys, Simeon, Levi, you're up next. Come on up, boys. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Look what he says about them. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. Oh, my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Look what he says to his boys. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. What do we have going on here? These are some very interesting words, to say the least. Jacob is going to remember Genesis chapter 34. Though he may be frail and aging, and he certainly does not have 20/20 vision anymore, I think his mind is still sharp, because he remembers what happened many years ago in the event that is recorded for us in Scripture in Genesis chapter 34, when his two boys, Simeon and Levi, took revenge on the Shechemites. You remember that story? Shechem had raped their sister, a young lady by the name of Dinah. And they went into the land of Shechem, and they killed all the men who were there. I'm not going to read the entirety of Genesis 34, but if you'd like the full story of it, go ahead and read it this afternoon. Allow me to read just the closing verses of Genesis chapter 34 and listen to what Simeon and Levi did. Genesis 34, I begin at verse 25. I'll take it down to the end of the chapter. On the third day, when they were sore, and you have to read why they were sore, the residents of Shechem, that is. Two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and they came against the city while it felt secure, and they killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with a sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field, all their wealth, all their little ones and their wives, all that was in the houses they captured and plundered. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me a stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" They would come and they would wipe out the city of Shechem, all the males. They had been in a very compromised state at this time in the storyline. Please read the entirety of Genesis 34. You'll find out exactly why. Now we move to Genesis 49, and Jacob is going to remember their wickedness and what they did. And because of that, both Simeon and Levi would not have their own territory unto themselves as a tribal people in the promised land. It would be divided amongst others. So this is what happens. Okay, Numbers chapter 26, in that Old Testament chapter, we read that just before the Israelites entered into the land of Canaan, by that time the Simeonites were the absolute smallest tribe in all of the tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses, before he, as he was giving the tribes of Israel his blessing before they entered into the promised land, he would bless all the tribes of Israel except the Simeonites. Never mention them in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Joshua 19, they would receive the smallest of the inheritance. Actually, all they got were a handful of cities within the larger tribe of Judah. You'll read that in Joshua chapter 19. And the Simeonites eventually lost their tribal identity. They were swallowed up in the tribe of Judah. The Levites, we're back in Genesis 49 now, the Levites would have no separate land grant for themselves. Joshua would give them a handful of cities. The Levites are interesting, however. And one of the things that we discover is the Levites would become the priestly tribe. That probably happened because as people arose against Moses in the desert, the Levites sided with Moses. So Moses would bless them. He would allot them the priestly tribe. But they would have no territory of their own. They would have cities all throughout the land of Israel. That's where the priests would come from. So that's the story of Reuben and Simeon and Levi. Can I just say this? And I would like just for a quick moment, if I may, to move into current events. As we deal with the nation of Israel, and even tribes such as the Reubenites, the Simeonites, the Levites, even though they did the things that they did, God still has a plan and a purpose for his people. Even these folks, even these tribes, because the nation of Israel has been called out by God to be his special people. We look at what's happening today in current events and in your news accounts today. You're familiar with what is happening in Israel today. These are God's people, chosen ones. And it begins in Genesis chapter 12, where God chose not a nation, but God chose a man. And this man's name was Abram. And God makes a covenant with Abraham, called the Abrahamic Covenant. Let me read it to you very quickly. Let me tie things into current events, if I may. God calls a man by the name of Abram, and he says this to him. He says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Listen, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God makes this unilateral covenant with Abraham. And through Abraham, he would raise up a nation, a people group, the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews. God is in a covenant relationship with his people, and he has given to them a land that they possess today. So much of what we see on television today, and the hatred directed against the Jewish state, so much of it comes over the land. And they see the Jews as occupiers of the land. They are not occupiers of the land, friends. God has given that land to them. It is a land grant covenant, and it is called the Book of Deuteronomy. He has given that land to them, but there are those today, not just in the secular world, but even within the Christian church today, who have dismissed the nation of Israel. In academic circles, it is called supersessionism. You may know it more as replacement theology. And there are those, even within the Christian church today, who see God as having disposed of the nation of Israel, believing that the church now takes the place of Israel and will inherit all the promises given to Israel. That is not true. God has promises for the church, and they will be fulfilled in the church. God has not forsaken his people, the Jews. He still has promises that he has made to them because he is in a covenant relationship with them. And he has told them, he has told us over and over again through the pages of the Old Testament that he will never forsake them or leave them. Listen to just a couple of them. Leviticus chapter 26, God says this to the nation of Israel. He says, I will not spurn them, neither will I abhor them so as to destroy them utterly and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sake remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I may be their God. I am the Lord. He says, I'm not going to break my covenant with them. And if that one isn't good enough, then we have the promise that we find in Jeremiah chapter 31. Listen to these words from God. Jeremiah 31 verse 35 says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Listen, if this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens can be measured and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. Did you catch that? God, in keeping his word to the nation of Israel, says, if all of the fixed order in the fixed universe can stop or can disappear, which it will not do, then he uses that certainty to tell the nation of Israel that he will never leave them nor forsake them, for he is their God. And what we see happening in the Middle East today, and it is absolutely heart-wrenching. I'll turn on the news, and I can watch just for so long. But one of the things that I do know with absolute certainty is that this is God's chosen people, and that land belongs to them. They are in a unilateral covenant with their God, meaning it does not depend upon their faithfulness. Lord knows they have been unfaithful for so long. They've rejected their Messiah. But that does not negate the faithfulness of our God. He is still in a relationship with them, and he still has plans for them. And if you have ever thought through this or questioned this, all you got to do is read Romans 9, 10, and 11, and it's very clear God still has a plan for this people, and he does today. And as horrendous and as heartbreaking and heart-wrenching as those scenes may be, God is still in control. And things, folks, things are not coming apart. Things are coming together. We got one more boy to move to. His name is Judah. Let's do this quickly because I'm out of time. Let's go back to Genesis 49. Judah, you're up next. Verse 8. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub from the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to a vine, to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, and his vestiture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. What in the world is that all about? What did we just read there? These are words of a prophecy concerning Judah's progeny, those who would come after him, those who would come into the promised land, inherit the promised land. And one of the things we do know from this prophecy is that the scepter will not depart from Judah. What does that mean? It would be from Judah that the kings would come from. King David came from Judah. King Solomon, all the Judaic kings came from Judah. Would you like to guess who also came from Judah, who is also a king, who has come once and coming again? His name is Jesus, the Messiah. And if you want to see his lineage, all you got to do is go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, and you will see there the name of Judah. And you get to the end of the genealogy, and it was Jesus. He is in line of the kings of Judah. The scepter shall never depart from Judah. Jacob calls his boy a lion, a lioness. Okay. His brothers will bow the knee to him. You can see the kingly line there. Who would ever bother a lion as the lion is resting or he's enjoying his prey? Who would ever bother the lioness as she's protecting her young? It speaks of the strength and the power of the line of Judah. And through him would be the kingly line. But he doesn't end there. Because look at the prophetic significance of what comes next. Look at the middle of verse 10. He says, until. The word until is a structural marker in the text. From this point on, everything after the word until is prophetic in nature as it relates to the coming millennial kingdom and the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of all the peoples. Did all the peoples pay tribute and give honor to just the Judean kings, to David? No. To Solomon? No. But there is coming a day when the nations of the earth will see and they will know this king from the tribe of Judah, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And at him every tongue will confess, at him every knee will bow. This king from the tribe of Judah. And then look at verse 11. This is kingdom language. He says, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vestiture in the blood of grapes. What in the world is that talking about? That's kingdom language. And it is in reference to when Christ comes again and he establishes his millennial kingdom on planet Earth, of which you and I are going to be a part of, by the way, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and I hope you do. It is going to be a time of incredible prosperity at that time. Binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. Who does that sort of thing? You don't hook up your donkey to your very best vine that you have. The donkey will eat it. He will destroy it. You don't do that kind of thing. Who washes their garments in wine? They're clothed in the blood of grapes. Do you see the language that's being used here? It's called hyperbole. It's hyperbolic language. Hyperbole is the use of over-exaggeration to make a point. It would be the equivalent of you starting your fireplace with $100 bills. Come on, who does that sort of thing? It would be the equivalent of you paving your driveway in bricks of gold. Who does that sort of thing? But in the days of the coming millennial kingdom, there will be such prosperity and abundance when Jesus reigns on planet Earth, that the language here is hyperbolic language. It is over-exaggeration. There will be such abundance at that time that you could hitch your donkey to the choicest of the vine. You could do that. Luxurious, expensive wine would be as common as dish water. There will be so much abundance in the land at that time. And folks, what's this pointing to? These things did not happen in the days of David or Solomon or any of the kings from Judah, but these things will happen when Christ comes again. These are kingdom texts, and is pointing to the truth into the far future that there is one who is coming who will do these things. And as we put all of the prophetic writings together, we know who this one is, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And by the way, he is coming again. And events today, as heart-wrenching as they are, and I suspect will continue to be for weeks to come, possibly months to come, they are setting the stage for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before that happens, before he comes again, there's also another event that must take place. And this event is the very next thing on God's prophetic calendar and is what we call the rapture of the saints. And if I can see the signs of his second coming already very close at hand, and that does not happen until 7 years after the tribulation time, we must ask ourselves the question, then how close is the rapture event in our going home to be with the Lord? Might it be today? Yeah. Might it be this week? Yeah. All to say, we live today as if he were coming today in anticipation and expectancy. Our Jesus is coming again. So, Jason, we'll finish the other boys next week in part two of this sermon series on the Jacob's last will and testament. We'll go through the remainder of the boys next week. But one of the things that we can see today is that there are prophecies that have been made and prophecies that have come true. There are prophecies that have been made, and we still await their fulfillment. But I guess all to say, if God's prophecies of the past have been fulfilled, that have been fulfilled literally, physically, bodily, then I take it that prophecies as it relates to Jesus coming again will be fulfilled literally and physically and bodily. Our Jesus is coming again. Let me send you out with two takeaways today, and then we go eat. Number one, I'll make this quick. As it relates to Jacob's first three boys and the words spoken to them, I would simply say this: past decisions have future consequences and ramifications. And I think especially as it relates to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and those who come after us, we must, it is imperative upon us that we model for them the fear of God and the preeminence and the priority of the Word of God. We must be people of the book, even as it is being disparaged today, because within its holy pages is God's revelation to us. Number two, in light of words spoken to Judah, we can see how God's word is true. It always comes true. God is good to his word. He did raise up a kingly line from Judah. He is good to his word. And because of that, I am confident that there is another Judean king who is coming, and his name is Jesus. Are you ready for that? If you are here today and you have never named the name of Christ in your life, I ask you to seriously consider doing business with God before you leave this place today. The scripture tells us that we are all sinners and we have fallen short of his glory, but he has provided for us a redeemer, a savior, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. His work was accomplished on the cross, on a hill on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem, some 2,000 years ago now. He went to that cross for you and for me. And all who come to him today in saving faith, believing that he took our place on that cross, believing what he did for us, believing that he was your substitute and my substitute and took our place, and believing in simple faith, what God has revealed in his word, will be saved. If you've never done that, don't leave here today without him. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for ancient words, words of scripture, words of truth, words that are reliable, words that are foundational. Father, I pray that as we consider world events today, that it would indeed drive us to our knees and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. To be a people who are ready and prepared to give answers to those who may ask us for the hope that we have within our hearts. Oh Lord, would you use this congregation this week in a powerful and mighty way as ambassadors of the kingdom and spokespersons for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there is one who is here today present or listening online, or will find this message at a later time, Lord, that they would not tune out before they've done business with you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you find your hymnal with me this morning? Number 239. For those of you who are joining us at home and you have a home hymnal, we're going to be singing. Congregation is now going to be singing the hymn entitled "Jesus Is Coming Again." What a great way to dismiss us today, and a great thought to just to bring her with us through the day. It's 239. Let's do verse 1. Please stand with me. Let's sing. Let's worship. Pray for our food, and when you get downstairs, tell them it's already been sanctified, and go ahead and make your way through the line. Gracious Lord, bless this congregation real good today, Lord, I ask. Father, make them strong in the things of Christ and in the power of your name. Oh Lord, may they be found as your servants today and this week. Joyous servants, glad servants, thankful servants. May Christ be seen in them, O Lord. I pray your blessings on them now as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Hey, we'll see you downstairs. Grab a plate. Enjoy.